Welcome to Straightforward, the engaging audio series of North Group Consultants, designed to provide you with direction for your future. In this edition, Roger welcomes his guest, Amy Idemiller, Managing Principal of RGS Associates. Roger and Amy will be discussing Amy's leadership journey. Now, from North Group Consultants, here's Roger North.
In my experience, most businesses like to think that they are unique in some way. In fact, as I go to visit with businesses for the first time, I often find that the principals of the business spend a fair amount of time trying to convince me of their uniqueness. And of course, uniqueness is a good thing. It enhances our value proposition in the workplace, attracts employees, and tends to sustain the firm in the long run if we actually do have a uniqueness. And of course, at North Group Consultants, we think we are quite unique. Perhaps not as unique as we think we are, but we think we're unique anyhow. I struggle sometimes to do a good job of explaining our business to other people. I just had this experience the other evening. I was out to dinner with a group of fellas, and a couple of them I knew, and they were already familiar with the business. But our fourth dinner partner was someone that I had never met before, and he started in on asking me questions about what our business does. And we had a nice conversation back and forth for maybe 15 minutes or so. And as I was leaving the dinner that night, I thought back on that conversation, and I thought I did a really poor job of explaining my business to my new friend, Joel. And I thought to myself, Roger, you've been running this business for 12 years, you're a reasonably accomplished salesperson, and you still can't give a 15-second elevator speech that's of any value to people. So like many people, I struggle to explain our business to other folks. Indeed, we think we are unique. In our marketing materials, we break down our services into six areas. Those six areas are assessment, leadership team development, executive development and coaching, transition and succession, human systems, and strategic planning. In our client engagements, we sometimes do all six, sometimes even simultaneously for one client. In other engagements, we are primarily focused on just one of those areas and helping them through that particular area. In the next several editions of Straightforward, I would like to concentrate and begin to focus on the services we provide in the area of transition and succession planning. That, in many ways, has become the heart of our business, as more and more businesses look to sustain themselves into the future and focus on the viability of their employee base and their leadership structure. As I thought about doing this for the next several editions of Straightforward, I couldn't think of anybody that I would rather talk to about transition and succession, because we had such a great time working through it together at RGS, than RGS Associates Managing Principal Amy Idemiller. Amy, welcome to Straightforward.
Thanks, Roger. It's great to be here.
Thank you. I think a great place to start really would be just to have you tell us a little bit about RGS. You bill yourselves as land planning consultants. Tell us a little bit about what that entails.
Well, RGS started back in 1993, and the founder of the organization is Dick Stauffer. He started the organization back then in hopes to create an opportunity both for landscape architects and civil engineers, and also saw a great need to service clients in this market as well in South Central Pennsylvania. So with that being said, he started with three employees, and within several years grew the firm significantly in the area to be a firm of 40 people.
Wow, that's great growth. And of course, it was growth that I was privileged to witness much of. And it seemed to me that Dick was unique in many ways, in that in starting the firm in 93, one of the things I've always said about Dick is he seemed to begin with the end in mind. He always had an idea that he was going to try to grow the firm fairly quickly and then perhaps sell it to the next generation of owners. Is that the idea you get about Dick in business?
When I joined the firm in 2003, absolutely the foundation of the organization was starting with the end in mind. And he talked about it. He walked it. A lot of leaders talk and walk differently, but he talked and walked the same way. And he wanted that from the very, very beginning. So therefore, he started looking from the very beginning for his next generation of leaders that he could start to build as soon as he opened the doors. That's very unique.
It is unique, Amy. You know, I find that most folks do not begin with that kind of end in mind. And I find in many cases that business owners somehow think that they might be immortal. And Dick seemed to be able to overcome that very early in his business career. Of course, he had some very early success. He was an excellent marketer, an excellent salesperson. So you're able to build up your client base rather quickly. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
And your clients, just to clarify, your clients would mostly be whom?
Our client base consists of developers, builders, commercial clients, churches, and retirement communities.
Residential, commercial, institutional.
Retail, restaurant.
Well, when I first met Dick, and I'm going to say it was back in 2001, I think I'm probably in the right year there, he already, only 8 years into the business and still a relatively young man, had a focus on finding the next generation of leaders in his organization. And ultimately, I think he always had in mind a plan to internally perpetuate the organization, the idea that he would grow it to a point where it had some value, where there would be some younger people in the firm that would be interested in becoming owners, and that he would find a way to make that happen. And indeed he did, didn't he?
He did, and he really took a staggered approach to it.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, he did bring on another partner within the first few years of RGS's history.
Mm-hmm.
And with that partner that he brought on board also came a client base.
Yes.
So again, he always was looking for opportunities to grow, to bring in not only leaders, but also leaders that brought a client base with them as well.
Right,
so
right.
To go from one owner to two owners, and then he looked for additional leaders within the firm to continue to grow.
Yes.
So he didn't just start with the next leader. He also was looking for more. And then he identified two other individuals as well. So within that, we started leadership development within the additional other two partners. Again, he was continuously investing and looking for key leaders to continue to build.
I was always so impressed. I mean, obviously, Dick was always looking for new employees and new clients and new opportunities in the marketplace, but he never seemed to lose his focus on developing the organization. He understood the need to make room for people, to make room for new clients, and to invest in organizational development broadly is what we call it. So he was never shy about training, never shy about succession and coaching. And of course, that was a great opportunity for our firm when we first got engaged with RGS, I think back in 2002. And already at that time, his focus for bringing our firm in was, hey, Roger, I don't expect to be here forever. I think we have some good talent in the organization. I'd like you to help me take a look at the people that are in the organization and start to prepare them. And I was just so impressed by that because it was inside his first decade of ownership that he was looking at that. And I still find that to be very, very unusual in the marketplace. So he's a unique man in many ways.
And he looked at it as an investment. And there was no question. It wasn't, should we spend the money or should we not spend the money? It's how do we move the firm forward? And he looked at that as an investment. So it was a tremendous investment to make, especially as a young firm, but he knew the return on the investment would be tremendous. And in fact, it's exactly what happened.
It has been, yeah. He's been able to reap the rewards of developing the firm to a good size and getting a good value for it, and at the same time, present a nice growth opportunity and hopefully profit opportunity to the next generation of owners.
Mm-hmm.
We first had the opportunity to come alongside RGS, as I mentioned before, I think in 2002, and first started doing a bit of work with Dick just to understand where he was headed and what his intentions were for the firm, and then had an opportunity to get engaged with the three young men that he had decided had leadership potential in the firm, Mark Johnson and Joel Snyder and Mark Hackenberg, and got a chance to work with them. But there was a missing piece in the organization in that Dick felt strongly that he needed a strong administrator in the organization. So he and I set out together to find that person. And a bright, sunny day in July of 2003, Amy, you walked into my office. Do you have any memory of that day?
I do. I remember starting off the conversation, which obviously any conversation with Roger is very delightful. So that was a lot of fun. Once we got through the formalities of the 2 degrees of separation in Lancaster County, we started talking about this opportunity. And what I valued in the conversation with Roger was the fact that it was looking at the opportunity within RGS, but also a professional development course for me from where I had been to where the opportunity was within this organization. And did that align with me?
Yes.
And there's not too many people that can have that conversation that can bring all those elements and all those variables together to have such amazingly productive conversation. And it didn't even feel like an interview. It felt more like coming together.
Yeah, it did. And I think I was fortunate in that situation because Dick had had a couple other folks, not in exactly your role, but in an administrative role in the firm, not with as much influence as you got, but that we just really struggled to define that role well and merge it with all the technical stuff that was going on in a highly technical organization like RGS. And so having gone through a couple stages of that, I think Dick had a very well-defined type of person and skill set, characteristic set that we were looking for. So the conversation that we had was different than most interviews that I had, because it was one of those few days that I have as a consultant. I do a lot of interviewing. I have a maybe once a year, twice a year if I'm lucky, where within about 15 or 20 minutes, I knew you were right for RGS. I knew you fit the characteristic. We have a profile that we put together working with the clients beforehand of what we're looking to hire. And so our conversation became more one of, is this a good place for Amy and her career progression? And you were doing a lot of traveling, I think, in your other job. Maybe you could talk a little bit about your history and why RGS became such a great fit for you in that point in your career.
My career started out in the healthcare field. I started here in Lancaster, and my company was based in Philadelphia. And we started a physical therapy company that worked exclusively with workplace injuries. And we took this concept and grew it into 36 states. And I was involved in sales and operations and just had an amazing experience learning all about the different aspects of sales and operations. And our operation was so large. We grew it into a $12 million business, and I was traveling all over the country, which is very exciting, and learning all kinds of businesses and different industries and different environments and business challenges and creating business solutions. I got to work with both the employer side and with insurance companies, so meeting the needs of businesses was a lot of fun for me. With that being said, with two small children and not spending a whole lot of time at home between flights to different parts of the country, I decided it was really time to pursue other options. In addition to going through three acquisitions in 3 years with my past organization and seeing how what happens when succession planning isn't part of the strategic mix, I lived that specifically for 3 years. So great experience, great foundation. And when I saw this opportunity at RGS, and where they wanted to take the organization, where they needed to take the organization, and then the kind of opportunities that were there, it was the right time, the right place. Timing is everything, and I saw the opportunity, and obviously you guided that as well, and it was the right time to make a move.
But you're not a civil engineer, you're not a PE, you have no particular background in land planning and consulting, correct?
That is correct.
And so I find that the more technical the principals are in a firm, and Dick was trained in a technical discipline. Mark, Joel, and Mark are highly competent professionals, civil engineers, land planners, landscape architects. It sometimes becomes difficult for people that are highly competent in their technical field to accept that someone can make a grand contribution to the organization without deep experience in that field. Did you feel that at all when you went to RGS?
It was amazing the similarities coming from the background that I was in. It was still professional services.
Yes, okay.
Then the rest was learning a brand new industry and a highly technical industry. But the opportunity was you're still dealing with the same issues. I don't care what your business is, what you do for a living. You're still dealing with maintaining a healthy business, which is the financial side of it. It's working with people. It's ensuring client satisfaction, actually the hopes of exceeding client expectations.
Certainly.
The basic foundation is the same. I was extremely fortunate that RGS was open to that type of influence, if you will, or guidance, because a lot of technical firms value the technical background and expertise of people. RGS was very visionary in saying, listen, we need somebody from the outside to come in because we've got such amazing technical expertise and we do that and we know that extremely well. We want to bring somebody in from the outside to help posture and position us even better as a firm.
Yeah, and the whole thing kind of fit together because the other thing that I always found so unique as we work together, because it's the opposite problem of what most organizations have, is that in most of our years of working together, demand exceeded supply. At RGS, Dick had built such a great reputation. Mark and Joel got out there, had a great reputation, did great work, got referred to other people, were active voices in the marketplace. We were in a good market for land development. Residential was growing. Commercial was growing. Almost always, your biggest problem was not looking for new clients. It was looking for new employees, people that could do the type of technical work that RGS does. Isn't that accurate?
Fortunately, my background in the healthcare field was very similar.
Yes,
we had a challenge of finding talented and skilled staff to fit those specific needs. And RGS was no different. We were going as far as Kansas State recruiting. So this was really a nationwide search that we were performing. And again, the supply of civil engineers doing land development and landscape architects doing land development was very, very limited. So we really had to promote opportunity, culture, yeah. and the type of business that we are. And again, it was a small pool that was available, but we wanted the best of the best also.
Yeah.
It was a strong business challenge. And fortunately, we were able to really put a strong strategy in place to bring together the culture and the opportunity and the uniqueness of what RGS brings together to find some really amazing individuals. And we were able to do that.
No question. And I think we then had two challenges as I got the opportunity to work with you. One was this idea that there are not a lot of professionals available coming into this field. We want the best of the best. We're in Brownstown, Pennsylvania, not New York or Boston or LA or wherever it might be. So we've got to create some level of uniqueness here that is attractive to people. And so we set out to really fine-tune an already good culture into being a great culture that people could maybe come and intern in and get the feel for opportunity and for being a great place to work. And at the same time, we were also into this succession piece where Dick wanted to move on with his life and get the legal and financial and personnel pieces of the succession put together. And fortunately for me, he engaged our firm and me specifically to help you guys through that process. And of course, one of the big challenges was, how do we go from a one owner, strong leader type of model? And Dick was certainly that, began with the end in mind. He was a good decision maker. He had been very successful. And now go to essentially a minority ownership model with three and then four owners. So it was building the employee culture, but turning the leadership culture on its head. Talk about what you experienced there. And if you would be so kind, talk a little bit about how you felt North Group engaging with you in that process.
Just coming off the heels of my past 3 years and what I experienced in my professional career, it was so unique and so refreshing to have somebody partner with us. And that would be Roger. That would be you. You really need somebody from the outside that can look in and really help guide the process. Because with being so close to being in the business, you spend so much time in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Without you, Roger, guiding us through that, it helped take us out of being in the business and working on the business.
Yeah,
and working on the future of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And you really took us out of the day-to-day business. And once the four future leaders of the organization were identified,
mm-hmm.
you worked with each of us individually to say, okay, what are your strengths?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we had such a strong leader that founded the firm. What's unique to the four of you? And
mm-hmm.
we worked on finding our unique strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And we found four very different, unique strengths.
And then the next step I felt, AIM, was helping the other three of you to understand the unique value of the strength that Mark Johnson brought, or Mark Hackenberg brought, or Amy Eidemiller brought, or Joel Snyder brought, because it's kind of natural for accomplished professionals, which all four of you were, to believe that their strength is most important. And in a way, I want them to believe that, but I also want them to commit to supporting and valuing the strength that the others bring so we can strengthen the entire leadership model. And we worked at that both through one-on-one work, because we had to gain that individual commitment first before we would go into this potential quicksand of a shared leadership model. Because now you're several years into a shared leadership model, and there is no majority owner, is there?
No.
No one owns 51% or more of the firm?
No.
So tell me how you make decisions in this RGS place in its second generation now without a single leader. How do you go about making decisions?
You guided us.
Goaded in some cases.
Gently guided us in making a commitment to each other,
mm-hmm.
that when we realize what we're all good at, the strength is what all four of us bring together. We made a commitment, guided by you, to all work together. If there needed to be direct conversations, we were having that together with each other.
Such a key. Such a key.
We quote Roger to this day, because if any of us start going down the wrong path, we mm-hmm. stop ourselves and say, listen, this is a conversation that needs to be had with a group.
Not just the two of us.
Not just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how tempting that is to have, but we've remained committed. And I think because you built that foundation for us, we've honored that. And without a doubt, that has been a key success, because we all know what happens if you don't have that commitment to each other. So the way we go about running the business is we have a shared commitment to, no matter what each individual opinion is, the common goal is for the best interest of the organization.
Yes,
that's
absolutely
key. So we're making decisions together. And again, four unique individuals with four different strengths and four different opinions. Mm-hmm. But because we had that common commitment, we really can navigate this business very easily. There has not been one business issue or one hurdle that we haven't been able to jump over together as a committed team. Mm-hmm. But it all started with the foundation.
Yes. In, I guess, anybody's life, if you really think about it, there's some different seminal moments that you have, some moments that you kind of remember. And you probably remember this one. We had an overnight meeting. It was one of the more rewarding days in my consulting career because we had been working together for several years at that point, going through this process of identifying strengths and seeing whether people were fully committed to a shared leadership model. And of course, I had put an agenda together and we had the most fun at dinner the night before. Actually, you weren't at the dinner at that point,
right?
Because you were part of the leadership team, I think, at that point, but not yet a financial partner.
Correct.
So Mark, Joel, and I had dinner together. And I find that one of the keys to having a strong, cohesive leadership team is that every once in a while, we just need to have some fun together. And you actually had recommended this great restaurant, and we went to this restaurant, and we had such a great time, not talking about business. I don't remember what we talked about, but we got a little loud at some point and just had a great time laughing and everything. And it just set the stage to, you know what? Yes, we don't always socialize together and we don't even always run in the same social circles, but we actually like each other. We have a good time together and we can be committed to a common future here. And then the next day you joined us. I can remember ending that meeting that day somewhere around 2 or 3 hours before we had planned. Because we all knew, hey, we reached the point here where we get this thing. We're commonly committed. And it doesn't mean we're not going to have challenges in the future, but we are going to move forward. But it is a much different model, Amy, isn't it, than what we're kind of used to? I mean, we see this Lee Iacocca, if you will, model in American business, one strong leader. I make the decisions. I speak for the firm. And I really see some weaknesses in that. Obviously, there's some strengths in that. But what do you see as the strengths of this shared leadership model that you guys are exhibiting at RGS?
We frequently talk about how much stronger we are because there's four of us.
Yes. Okay.
And you're mm-hmm. looking at the business from so many different angles. And again, with that shared commitment, we are so much stronger as an organization and we balance each other out. That's what we said. If the four of us came together, we'd have the ideal individual. But who can possess every single talent or strength?
That person probably doesn't actually exist.
We know people who have strengths and weaknesses.
Sure.
Typically, you don't find that type of individual. So the strength is in the four of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have found that to be so advantageous. And we respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you don't have to be the best of friends, but we respect each other tremendously. And we do spend time together.
Mm-hmm.
We spend time together in the business and talking about the business, whether we're in the office or we need some time out of the office just to connect.
You get together socially from time to time, don't you?
We do.
I think that's really important. I think a lot of people skip that, but it doesn't have to be all the time. We don't have to be best friends, but we have to remind ourselves, you know, we enjoy being together. We can have a good time here. That contributes to cohesion, don't you think?
The relationships are so essential because the rest of the firm and our clients are looking to us saying, are they a cohesive leadership
yes,
team?
Yes, absolutely.
And so we need to model appropriate relationships and connectivity and leadership both internally and externally.
And I think you've done that so well. One of my favorite books is called The Four Obsessions of an Extraordinary Executive, and it demonstrates within the book the four disciplines, if you will, of very healthy organizations. And I think RGS demonstrates all four of those. And it starts with the number one discipline is to build and maintain a strong, cohesive leadership team. And you guys have done that. Now, there's different models for that. You can have a strong, cohesive leadership team with a majority owner and a group of vice presidents or directors or whatever they're called that have different subject matter expertise. That's a fine model, and we can follow that model. But the bottom line is that team that is coming together to lead needs to be strong and cohesive. And then secondly, it's their job to bring clarity to the organization about what the organization is about, both culturally and in the marketplace. And I think you guys have done a great job on that too. Are there a couple of things that you do consistently within the firm to bring that clarity consistently to your employees?
We definitely have made a commitment to ongoing communication.
There it is, the third discipline.
And what we do is we do strategic planning every year.
Yep.
Sometimes it's big picture dreaming.
Yep.
And sometimes once we get done dreaming, it's operational.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure,
at
absolutely.
At the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
We're very disciplined with the strategic planning. We do weekly leadership team meetings.
You guys meet every Friday just about without fail, don't you?
We sure do.
Great
and
discipline.
If one can't make it, we continue on. If
yep.
two can't make it, we reschedule.
Reschedule, yep.
Do we invest a lot of time in that? Sure. But it's the one time a week where we come together as partners, again, to work on the business instead of working in the business like we do all week long. And it's a great connectivity point, and we have an established agenda that ties into our strategic plan. So it all marries very well together. And that's the point where we commit the time. It's about 2 hours every week to moving the business forward.
And you also have a great commitment to just continuous communication with your employees.
We have project managers meetings
mm-hmm.
once a week
mm-hmm.
in addition to staff meetings. That's all company people that participate once a month.
So once a month, you bring the whole staff together and you give them basically a business update.
We do. We talk about every aspect of the business.
Which I love. You're telling them where we are with respect to goal. We're telling them where we are with respect to revenues and profitability. And everybody's in on that. They don't have to wonder about what's being talked about behind closed doors every Friday morning, because they know once a month, they're going to hear it.
Exactly. And that's so important, because they do see us behind the closed doors, if you will, in the conference room. And I know a lot of people think, what can they possibly be talking about that much? And it ties into strategic plan. We go through the agendas and the status of where we are. And then we tie it back to the staff meetings. The staff need to know that we're looking out for them. We're a little obsessive about the business.
Mm-hmm.
We constantly are trying to look at ways to improve and to do things better and to do things more efficiently, always looking out for the client interest.
And you know those ideas sit out there with your employees, and it's your job to bring it out, to lubricate it, as it were, by giving them information and being very transparent about how the business is doing.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been such a great honor, Amy, to be friends with you. Obviously, we've developed a friendship and we do some things together in the nonprofit sector, which is great fun, but also to see you develop as a leader at RGS and to really be in a lot of ways the glue that holds that partnership together, because not that the guys couldn't hold together without you, I'm certain that they could, but they have their technical disciplines that are very absorbing and very demanding, and you present a leadership every day that exemplifies to the employees and the clients that this is a force to be reckoned with, RGS Associates. And so it's been a privilege to be involved with the firm, and certainly I hold it out as an example as to how a first-generation leader, Dick Stauffer, that we talked about earlier in our conversation here today, can begin with the end in mind and then go methodically through a transition and succession program when the right people are chosen, the right outside partner, hopefully, in North Group is chosen, and it has moved very nicely into the second generation of ownership for you folks, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Ames, thanks so much for being with me today. I had a great time talking with you, and I wish you all the continued success in the world for both you and your family in RGS. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Roger.
Have a great day, everybody.
North Group Consultants continues to provide direction for your future through sustained relationships. We identify issues by conducting assessments, provide assistance during organizational transitions, and develop leaders through coaching and accountability. As always, thank you for listening to Straightforward.